A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome, good morning. A little bit cold this morning, but it's going to warm up later. Having the studio my very, very close friend, Hugh Reichland. We're going to talk about a tour that he's going to take to Morocco later this year. I think it's in a few months' time. He'll give us all the details. But as usual, we start off with those, unfortunately, who passed away during the week. There was Julia Abrahamson, Gerald Martin Lee, Estella Jane Letvin, Moshe Siegel, Haley Skay, Jacqueline Gruz, Maureen Friedman, Beverly Estelle Sussman, Frank Yair Lewis, Philip Hoff, and Mervyn Hilton Akrama. So I want to wish the respective families Chaim Tovim Arukim a long and a good life, and may they have no further sorrow. So welcome, Hugh. How are you this morning?
All right, thank you. Rather cold, as you said, but it's nice and warm in the studio. And I think, Isaac, you always warm everybody up just with your wonderful talks and your wonderful shows, and create such a wonderful, warm atmosphere.
Thank you. So we're going to talk about your proposed tour to Morocco. I know you've been to the Far East, you've been to Lithuania, all of Europe, but now this is something completely different for you.
Well, absolutely. This one is, as you've said correctly, to a new destination. It's North Africa. And it's absolutely been fascinating preparing for this trip. We, please God, leave on the 23rd of October, and it's until the 2nd of November. And I've never been there before. So I am the scholar in residence of the trip, but really what that means is that I'm going to be doing the macro history, coming in with my knowledge of world Jewish communities and picking up on what makes Morocco unique and where they fit into the bigger scheme of things. And we will be accompanied on our journey by local authorities and local experts, local guides on the ground with whom I'll be working.
Right. Now, Hugh, before you give us all the details, we go into it. I've just edited a book on the life of the late Chief Rabbi Bernard Moses Casper. You remember Rabbi Casper?
Sure.
It's called Saba Rabbah.
I used to go to the great, the Walmart Street Shul,
right,
when he was the chief.
Saba Rabbah. Now, yeah, there's an episode that took place in 1962, which has never, ever been made public. And after 50 years, we've got permission. It's in the book. It's called Moroccan Jewry by Rabbi B.M. Casper, the uncensored version. You know, Rabbi Casper was the chief chaplain of the British Army in the Jewish Brigade. Churchill actually gave permission for a Jewish brigade. He was the chaplain in North Africa, and then in Italy, etc. But in 1962, he was the dean of the students of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and he was approached by the Mossad to go to Morocco to try and free all the Jews there. And because he was a British chaplain, he had no problem of getting into Morocco. They gave him all the things, but they didn't know why he was coming there. And this whole chapter will describe in detail, and I'm going to let you have this book, Hugh, for you to read.
Thank you so much.
Because it's fascinating. When he came to Morocco, he found the Jewish families, living in caves, 20 or 30, 40 families, six or seven family members in one little hole in a cave. And we talk about squatters here in South Africa. He managed to do a whole survey, and eventually one evening, without anybody knowing about it, Israel sent in some boats at middle of the night, and they managed to save 300 Jewish families. Mm. They got them out of Morocco.
Remarkable. Absolutely.
The story
remarkable.
Has never been told before. The Prime Minister at that time was Menachem Begin. And Begin said that Rabbi Casper will go down in history, saving 300 100 Jews,
incredible.
Jewish families.
Incredible. Isn't it just a remarkable story of Jewish history, the way Jews go all over the world and undergo incredible missions just to bring back
Jews? As you said, you went to the great synagogue, you knew Rabbi Kasper. Just want to mention in this book, because I've edited the book, because I was very close to him. You'll see there's a photograph of myself. You remember the 1967 war when we took the Kotel?
Absolutely.
I was in with Rabbi Kasper, and we met with Rabbi Goren, who blew the shofar
at the wall. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I'm amazing, just showing you the photograph.
Beautiful.
I will email it to anybody who wants it. You can text me 34519, or my email is isaac@chai.co.za.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to mention one more thing about Morocco. We used to have here in Johannesburg, he was in Bloemfontein, Rabbi Chaim Cohen. I'm sure, do you remember him?
Sure.
His son, right. Rabbi Chaim Cohen was beautiful rabbi. By the way, when he lay in the Torah, there was nothing to touch him. Now, his late father was the chief rabbi of Morocco. This is a story that you don't know.
Yes.
And in 1967, when the war broke out, the news got through to the Jews throughout the Jewish world. Rabbi Chaim, the chief rabbi of Morocco, his father, came out and made a statement about Israel. But at that stage, the Moroccans, whoever was in charge, I've got it written down, they were very anti-Israel. And they arrested Rabbi Chaim Cohen's father, and they cut out his tongue so that he would never speak again. So these are the two stories I want to mention about Morocco.
Chaim Cohen's daughter is Shana Azizolohov.
Yeah, that's correct.
Married to Brian Azizolohov.
Azizolohov,
yes. That's the Iranian side of the family.
And as a matter of fact, Chaim Cohen was married to one of the Meyerson sisters. Remember, there was the Meyerson brothers, unfortunately.
Right.
That incident is for another time.
Right.
But just wanted to mention to you these two episodes where Rabbi Kasper... called the Moroccan Jewry, and he gives you the details, what he found
amazing.
There, the squalor, how they
amazing.
Were living,
amazing.
And how they saved him.
I was privileged as a child, actually, to walk with Rabbi Kasper. Do you remember he lived in Princess Place?
Princess Place.
In Parktown.
Parktown.
Right, between the Parkland Clinic and the Brenthurst Clinic, and he used to walk to Warmrand Street Children. I, as a little boy, before my bar mitzvah, used to walk with this beautiful, tall
gentleman.
Gentleman, yeah.
Yeah, and you know...
Such a dignified man.
Well, I used to
spoke
go
the
to...
the Queen's English.
I went to his... used to go to him for the shiur every week, but I used to go to his flat every single day to see him. And as I said, I was very close
amazing,
to Rabbi Kasper.
Story.
And you know, when you one last thing, when you were in Rabbi Kasper's presence, you felt you were in the presence of a saint, tall,
dignified.
Dignified. Mm. And you know, when if the great synagogue was packed to capacity, and as he walked in, you could hear a pin drop.
Yep.
Absolute.
Tremendous presence.
Presence.
Yeah.
You felt you were in
absolutely.
The presence of a chief rabbi.
Well, it'll be to his eternal benefit that he saved, 300
Jewish families were saved. Taken out of caves, taken out of squalor, everything. So
beautiful.
I just wanted to know and let you know that because this is the first time the listeners will know that this is Rabbi Kasper, although he worked for the Mossad.
Yeah.
And he got them all saved.
Amazing. Well, Isaac, I must say that, you know, Morocco went through many different periods, and it wasn't always a situation where they were living in the situation that Rabbi Kasper found them. But maybe we should just have a look at the broader history of Morocco and try and put in context the situation that Rabbi Kasper found himself.
So we're going to take an ad break, and we'll be back in a few moments.
You're listening to Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick on 101.9 High FM.
So we're talking to Hugh Reichlin all about his proposed tour towards the end of the year. That's in October, Morocco. So, Hugh, you can go over and give us all the details now.
Well, when you say the proposed tour, thank God we're 50% booked. So we're encouraging people that want to come to please come on a first come, first serve basis. It's an absolutely fascinating history, Isaac. The Jews were in Morocco, have been in Morocco, and there's still a small Jewish community there for 2,500 years. It goes back to the time of the Carthaginian state, and there were Jews that came through to Morocco after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. That was about 2,000 years ago. And for example, the city of Fez, the well-known city of Fez, was founded in the year 808 and it was a very cosmopolitan city. And that's what has struck me about Morocco, that it's incredibly cosmopolitan. Just to jump forward, you know, a couple of centuries, as we know, Morocco was protectorate of the French, and also certain parts were Spanish protectorates. So, you know, being at the top northwest side of Africa, of the African continent, it's just opposite Gibraltar and Spain. So really, if you think about it, it's situated in North Africa, very close to Eretz Israel, and a little bit late in the program, we're going to talk about Moroccan Rabbonim going to Israel and people coming from Israel into Morocco. But it's also close to Western Europe, that's Spain and Portugal, and not very far from Eastern Europe. So the beauty of Morocco is that they have been able to assimilate within their culture everything around them. That's the Middle East itself, Africa, Western Europe, and Eastern Europe. And so when Fez was founded in the year 800, many of the newcomers that came into the city of Fez in order to build it up were in fact Jews, and they contributed tremendously to the commercial capabilities of the economy, and were a very important part of the community. The golden age of the Jews of Fez was between the 9th and 11th centuries, and they had many yeshivot in the city, and brilliant scholars and poets and grammarians were in Morocco. So you are looking at a very ancient culture that was very rich in not only the rabbinic culture, but also in terms of commercial and in terms of the expression that it allowed the Jews throughout the country.
Right.
There were periods which were difficult because Morocco has been a Muslim country for many, many centuries. Although the ethnic people are Berbers, which is a slightly different grouping to the rest of the Arab countries. But the Berbers themselves also took on Islam. But it's been generally a country that has been very tolerant of its Jewish community, and as we were saying earlier, allowed the Jews in the country to flourish and to make a tremendous contribution. Once again, if we just fast forward at present, there is the king of Morocco, and they also have a government in operation at the same time. And there are Jews and have been Jews in very high positions in the Moroccan government. And to this day, the king of Morocco has a senior advisor who's a Jew by the name of André Azoulay. So I think that that's something very important for people to know, that this is, I think, one of the rare opportunities that we have to go into a North African Muslim country that has very good relations with Jews. And I, in fact, know there's a very good friend of mine, Yossi Luke, who used to live in South Africa, that's gone to live in Israel. His father is the famous Sfadi Chazan Chaim Luke. And he and his son go to music festivals in Morocco every single year. And Chaim Luke is very well known to the king, and they call him Rabbi Luke, and they have tremendous reverence and respect for him. And he is known to all the Moroccans to have a profound knowledge of Moroccan cultural music as much as the Chazanut, and also cross-pollinates, where you find Muslim musicians playing Jewish melodies and accompanying the Chazan in these concerts that are attended by thousands and thousands of Moroccans and Europeans that come into Morocco for the festival.
Right. Now, can you tell us what about the kosher facilities in Morocco? Is there a shchita board there? Is there rabbonim there?
Well, there are rabbonim, and there are communities in each of the cities that we're going to be visiting, and we'll be talking about them shortly. We are going to be linking up with the local Jewish community. That, for me, is one of the most exciting parts of every tour, and that is that we make a specific point of getting to know the Jews in every city that we travel to. There is also a Chabad there. And it was wonderful that I saw on the internet recently that when the Muslims finished Ramadan recently, Chabad House and many hundreds of Jews participated in giving out food parcels to the Muslims after they had finished their Ramadan as part of that brotherly love that, thank God, exists between the Muslims and the Jews. So, as you know, I travel with Eddie's Kosher Travels, which is a kosher travel company. And obviously, all the tours that we do, wherever we go in the world, we ensure that there's kosher food. So we're going to be staying in 4- and 5-star hotels. And they organize for a mashgiach in every single city to come into the hotel to kosher what they need to, so that we have dinner and breakfast in the hotel, and then we have kosher lunch packs with us as we travel on the road. So all that is taken care of. And we've got a number of Shomer Shabbat people that are coming, so obviously in every city we will join the local community for Shabbat, and then we'll have walking tours, you know, on the Shabbat.
So the head office is going to be in Casablanca. That's where the capital is.
Well, the capital of Morocco is actually Rabat.
Rabat, yes.
Where we're going to finish the tour. But when we land, we're going to be landing in Casablanca. And the tour actually begins in Casablanca, which is probably one of the most beautiful and important cities in Morocco. And It's actually often termed the Versailles of Morocco. So you can just imagine the, you know, talking about Versailles, the palaces, etc. So there are very many beautiful buildings in Casablanca.
I'm going to put out a question to our listeners. There was a very famous movie made called Casablanca, but who were the two stars of that movie? They were a husband and wife team. So if you do know, text 34519. The famous movie called Casablanca. And by the way, there was another movie also made, Casablanca, by the famous Marx Brothers. I don't know if you remember the Marx. There was Groucho Harpo, Zeppo. But Casablanca, I want to know, who was the stars of that very famous movie, Casablanca? If you do know, text 34519, or you can call us on 074-654-7335.
And just to carry on, so when we're in Casablanca, we're going to go to Meknes, which was the very lively Jewish center in Morocco. And but unfortunately, most of the Jews of Meknes have actually left, and they left in 1948. What's quite astounding is I'm not sure how many people actually appreciate how many Jews were in Morocco just before the State of Israel was declared in 1948. There were approximately 365,000. Yeah. Between 365, they say, and some people say as much as 450,000 Jews in Morocco. And in fact, they say that today one of the biggest ethnic groups in Israel is the Moroccan Jewish community. They say up to 1 million people in Israel today have Moroccan ancestry and come from those people that emigrated.
Right. And, you know, for those listeners who just tuned in now, as I mentioned earlier, this book on the life of Rabbi Casper, who managed to save 300 families. That's 300, which is about 1,000 souls, because they were living in caves. They were living in the most unbelievable, worse than you would call squatter camps. 6 or 7, 15, 20 people living in a little cave. And he managed to save them and bring them out of Morocco. And for those who listened, didn't hear me tell you, Rabbi Casper worked for the Mossad. No one knows this. This was in 1962, and being a chaplain in the British Army, he was the first chaplain of what then was called the Jewish Brigade. He also saved hundreds of Jews in Italy, and he managed to persuade Menachem Begin, when he was the prime minister, to bring all those bodies that were buried in Italy back to Israel to be buried in Israel. This is an unbelievable. So the book, which I've just edited, I've just completed. Hugh, I'm going to lend it to you so you can read it.
Much appreciated.
I want you to go to certain of those places and mention it when you do your tour of Morocco.
Wonderful. It will accompany us.
Right. So also in Morocco, there were famous Rabbonim who did unbelievable commentaries on the Torah. One of them was the Rif.
Absolutely. Rav Yitzchak Alfasi HaKohen, and he lived in the years 1013 to 1103, known as the Rif, and he wrote a work called the Sefer HaHalachot. What people might not appreciate is that his work, the Rif's work, and by the way, Alfasi is from Fez.
Fez, correct.
The surname Alfasi is from Fez, which we're going to talk about next, because after Casablanca, our next stop is Fez itself, so it was good that we spoke about him now. He actually laid the groundwork for many of the halachic works that followed afterwards. So the great codifications that came afterwards with the Shulchan Aruch, for example, was Rav Yosef Karo, and other codifications. As we know, there was also the Ramo, the Rav Moshe Isserles in Poland.
Poland.
But the groundwork, the person that actually extracted the halacha from the Talmud and put it in an orderly fashion was the Rif, a Moroccan rabbi from Fez. And he actually achieved this by working, it says he studied, and he worked on this codification for 10 solid years, unbroken, in order to put his monumental work together.
We're going to take an ad break, and we'll be back in a few moments.
You're listening to Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick on 101.9 High FM.
I put out the question. I said that famous movie Casablanca, who were the two film stars? Well, we got the answer. The male film star was Humphrey Bogart. Now, who was the female actress? And that was his wife, his real wife, you know. And she, by the way, was Jewish. So if you do know, text 34519. So we're talking now about the Rif.
Correct.
There were a few other great Rabbonim that also came from.
There were, and I'm going to come to them in a moment, but we can't leave speaking about the Rif without mentioning that he remained in Fez for 40 years, and he was the rabbi of two famous people. The one was Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the famous author of the Kuzari.
Kuzari,
right.
Yeah.
And the second one was that the Rif taught Rabbi Yosef Ibn Migash, known as the Rimigash, who in turn was the Rebbe of Rav Maimon. And Rav Maimon was the Rebbe and the father of the Rambam, Rav Moshe Ben Maimon. So this just shows you the extent of the influence that one Moroccan rabbi had on the entire Jewish world. That was obviously influenced Spain, and they became the Kabbalists of Israel, of Tzfat, and the influence was enormous. I think probably the other most famous Moroccan rabbi was the Baba Sali, and in fact Baba Sali in Hebrew and in Arabic means praying father. And he lived from the years 1889 to 1984. And in fact, he lived and died he was in the last few years of his life. He was in a place called Netivot.
Israel. I met him. I knew him.
And I was in Netivot when he was still alive, and unfortunately we couldn't see him. He was sleeping. But you met him
in Netivot. I met him personally, and I'll tell you a little story about him as well.
Okay. So, and he was known as a miracle worker. And in fact, he came from a family of great Kabbalists. And this is one of the very interesting things that we find about Moroccan culture and the Moroccan Rabbonim, that you have great halachists, as we spoke about the Rif, and we also will mention the Run in a few minutes. And then you also have the Kabbalists, and the Baba Sali then came from the line of Kabbalists. He was a great Torah scholar, and he was from a family of, the surname was Abu Chatzera, and the patriarch of this family was Rabbi Shmuel Abu Chatzera, and they came from a place called Tafilalt in Morocco, and that's where the Baba Sali was born and raised, and the family lived on a very large estate, which included a yeshiva, and where there were young scholars studying day and night. So you can see that there were great periods of great peace and prosperity for the Jewish community, which enabled this tremendous Torah learning to come out of the country.
Right. We just got a text here. I asked who the female actress was with Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, and it was Lauren Bacall. I'm sure many of you remember Lauren Bacall. Now, you talk about the Baba Sali. Remember, we used to have here in Johannesburg the director of the Board of Deputies, the late Alec Goldberg.
Sure.
Right. Alec Goldberg's son, who lived in Israel, is now living in London, used to design postage stamps. And he designed a postage stamp with the Babasali, Abu Khutsera. And I got a first aid cover of it. He gave it to me personally as well. So just to mention that. But he was a great Kabbalist, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And when you were in his presence, you felt that the Ruach HaKodesh, the whole room vibrated. You just...
With that mystical power.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So...
I think we have a call coming through.
Yes. Who am I speaking to?
Abe.
Is that Abe?
Yeah.
Morning. How are you this morning?
Humphrey Bogart, I don't think he was married to Ingra Bergman.
No, it's Lauren Bacall.
He was married to Lauren Bacall.
That's what I said.
She was Jewish.
Yeah, she was Jewish. He married Lauren Bacall. Ingrid Bergman, right. He never married. The other actress that he used to star with was the famous Catherine Hepburn. Remember the African Queen?
Well, that's Spencer Tracy with Catherine Hepburn.
Yes, Catherine Hepburn. Right. Thank you, Abe.
But my brother, who was the rabbi of Durban at one time, had a picture with Rabbi Casper of Warwick in my brother's house.
Where was your brother, the rabbi?
In Durban.
Which
Rabbi Fine.
Rabbi Fine. Gee, that's a long time ago. I remember him very well.
That's a long time, in the 60s.
Fine. But didn't he marry one of the man girls?
No.
Yes.
And I married a girl from Israel.
Fine. And then possibly it's another. I'm thinking of the other Fine family that were here. She was very involved with the women's... Federation of Synagogues. Thank you, Abe. Go well. Have a good day. Over to you.
Then we're going to look at some of the learn about some of the other Rabbonim of Morocco. So another famous rabbi was Rav Avraham Azoulay, and he was in Morocco between 1570 and 1643. And he was born in Fez in Morocco, and then he moved afterwards to what was then Palestine, and he lived in Hebron. What I found fascinating about Rav Avraham Azoulay, first of all, he wrote a commentary on the Zohar under the title Kiryat Arba. So this, once again, is talking to the fact that there were great mystics in Morocco. And there were people, because they lived in Morocco, they were able to travel. So they were able to go to Eretz Israel, and they were able to meet up with the mystics in Israel. And that's why there was this tremendous connection between Israel and Morocco. But when he had issues that he had to deal with in Morocco, he there was certain plagues. There was a plague in 1619. There were health issues, and he was driven out of Morocco. And it says that he found his refuge in Gaza in the 1600s, which is also quite amazing, just to kind of remind people that Gaza was part of Israel, without wanting to get into politics. And we had a great rabbi, Rav Avraham Azoulay, that lived in Gaza already in 1619. And his works were published in Amsterdam, and he also had a great influence on Jewish mystical works. Do you want to find out a little bit more about any of the other rabbis?
Yes,
there was also Rabbi Chaim Ibn Attar. And he was the person that became known as the Or HaChaim. Every Chumash in the world virtually has got the Or HaChaim commentary on the Torah. And the Or HaChaim, whose name was actually Chaim ben Moshe ibn Attar, and he was born in Meknes in Morocco. And just now we're going to be returning to our schedule, and we'll see that we're going to go from Fez into Meknes. But I believe there's a call.
Morning, who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Dave.
This is.
I just like to ask. I heard Hugh Larkin is having a trip to Morocco.
And I'd just like to know a bit more about the itinerary, if that's possible, to just tell me a bit about where you're going to be going.
Okay. What is your name?
Jake. Jenny.
I didn't get the name? Jason.
Jake.
Hello, Jason. Hello, Jason. So, Jason, we are going to be working through, in the next few minutes, we're going to be working through the itinerary, but I can email it if anybody's interested in the itinerary. Please can they email me on hugh@reichlin.co.za. That's hugh@reichlin.co.za. And you can also find me on Facebook under Hugh Reichlin's Jewish Heritage Travels, or just under Hugh Reichlin. It's R-A-I-C-H-L-I-N. And I'll send you the full itinerary with the costings, etc.
Excellent.
Thanks, Jason. So then on the Tuesday, we go to Fez. And when we're in Fez, we go to the Square of the Royal Palace, which is alongside the Jewish Quarter, which is known as the Melach. In Morocco, the Jewish Quarter. We will also go to the Jewish Cemetery, and we'll go to the Abu Danan Synagogue in the Melach in Fez. After Fez, we're going to be going to a city called Ifran, which is a Swiss-type Moroccan town. And once again, you know, we were talking about how cosmopolitan Morocco is, and here you see that there's Swiss architectural influences in this place called Morocco, in this place called Ifran. And maybe I should also mention that you've got actually two sea coasts. You've got the Mediterranean coast on the one side, you've got the Atlantic on the other, and then a couple of hundred kilometers into the country, you've got a massive rugged mountain range, and then you've got the Sahara Desert behind. So what's amazing about Morocco is that you have such a diversity of climatic conditions and a tremendous diversity also of architectural influences.
You know, there's a certain part of Morocco, I think it's the western part of Morocco, which are trying to get their independence. Do you know about that? And the South African government here are very, very involved in it. They're trying to persuade the Moroccan government to give these people their independence.
I think that's in the sub-Saharan, that's in the Sahara yes. Desert there. I know there's been conflict there for decades. Where Morocco has been militarily involved. I think it's in the Sahara. Yes.
Now, just to get back for Shabbat, where yes. are you going? Where are you going to spend the Shabbat?
Shabbat, we're going to be in Marrakesh. So just before we get there, if I can just make that link. So we're going to go to Ifran, which is that Swiss-type Moroccan town. Then we're going to the edge of the Sahara Desert, where we're going to see these magnificent scenes of the desert and some of these
the sand dunes,
and you there are these photographs of these magnificent pink sunsets on the sand dunes. We're actually going to get up one morning very early, and we're going to go on jeeps, and we're going to see a sunrise across the Saharan desert, which I think sounds quite magnificent. Then we're going to Marrakesh for Shabbat. That's after we've visited the Atlas Mountains and after we've seen a little bit of the Sahara Desert. And then we're going to come into Marrakesh, which is called the Red City. And it has an old fortified city, which is known as the Medina. And it's one of the largest traditional markets is in Marrakesh, called the Souk. And that's where we're going to be doing shopping. And it is a major shopping destination. Most of Morocco is, because apparently it's very cheap relative to countries around it. And they've got incredible spices, fabrics, colors, etc., etc. So people really come from all over the world. If I can just mention that I was unaware that Morocco had in 2013 10 million tourists. Yeah, and they are building towards 2020, where they hope to attract 20 million tourists, and it's the second biggest contributor to the GDP, to the gross domestic product of Morocco, after mining phosphates. So it's an incredible city. The other thing that I found out is that they're on the verge of getting a high-speed train, and they are going to be getting the first high-speed train on the coast of Morocco on the Atlantic side, and it's going to come from Algeria next door. Oh, I think it's Algeria or Tangiers. I'm going to check that for you in a moment. Algeria. It's from Algeria. And it's going to be capable, it's going to come into operation. Apparently, they're already testing it at the moment. But when it's in full flight, so to speak, excuse the mixed metaphor, it's going to be going at 200 miles an hour, which is about 360 kilometers an hour. And Morocco has one of the finest road networks in the whole of Africa. Very, very efficient. So I think that this is something that I'm gratified to hear, because I must admit that when I first thought of Morocco initially, I kind of was a little bit worried that we're going to go into some backward, you know, place in the Middle East. But it seems exactly the opposite of that. And when you think about the fact that you've got very sophisticated European travelers from Spain and Italy predominantly coming into Morocco, these people want to have a holiday that's got all the frills of what you would expect on a luxurious holiday, and they certainly get it.
Yeah, just to get back to the Shabbat. Now, if you're going to go, you're going to be in Marrakesh for Shabbat.
Correct.
And you're going to go to the shul there. But don't forget, the service there is not going to be mitnagim. It's going to be a Sephardi service.
Absolutely.
So you've got to prepare all your
All the participants.
Because, for example, like yesterday on my program, The Art of the Canter, although on Sunday, we sing Lechod Odi when we bring in Shabbat. Yes. But the Sephardim, they sing Rose de Shabbat. Have you ever heard Rose de Shabbat?
No.
If you listened on Sunday, you would have heard me. I played it. Rose de Shabbat, he de Shabbat.
Right.
This is the most beautiful tune. And, of course, their mitnagim, Their customs are completely different to ours.
Yeah.
You're completely different.
But Isaac, this is what I find so fascinating about Jewish travel, that when you step into another country, you're moving away from your comfort zone of being a typical Ashkenazi Jew in South Africa, for example, and we're going to be stepping into a North African country with a 2,000-year heritage, with its own nusach, with its own tefillot, and that's what we do. We step in, we become part of the community, we daven in their nusach, and I can tell you that we, for example, when I went to Italy, there's a Nusach Italki. When we went to one of the shuls in Italy, we were unable to follow even a simple service like Mincha because it's so different. But that's fine. As long as our hearts are in the right place and we're trying to follow as best we can, that's part of the experience.
But there's only one thing that doesn't change. You know which part of the service doesn't change? The Shema.
The Shema is from the Bible.
It's from the Bible. It's from the Torah.
So that never changes.
It never changes.
Yeah.
Never changes. So we're taking an ad break, and we'll come back in a few moments.
You're listening to Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Hugh Reichelin about the proposed tour towards the end of October this year, where they're going to go to Morocco. So, Hugh, just to sum up, could you give us just a few more details and how long the tour will be?
Well, the tour is going to be for approximately 11 days, from the 23rd of October to the 2nd of November. And as you can see, we're going to be moving, as you've heard, we're going to be moving right around the country, from Casablanca. We're going to Meknes. From Meknes, we're going to Fez. We're then going to the Saharan Desert for the jeep rides and the sunrise, watching the sun rising over the Sahara. Then we go to Marrakesh, and we're going to a place called Essaouira. I'll probably pronounce it differently when I come back. But this place now adds another adds additional paint to the canvas, so to speak, because here in Essaouira, it was a Portuguese Mogador stronghold. Because, of course, as we said earlier, Morocco is on the Straits of Gibraltar opposite Spain and Portugal. So you've also got a Portuguese influence. So just have a look at the richness that we're talking about over here. We've spoken about the Swiss influence. We've spoken about the Spanish influence. We've spoken about the French influence. And here you've even got Portuguese influence over here. And this particular town, Essaouira, the reason that we're going there is because it has a very rich history. In the 18th century, there was an Alawite sultan by the name of Mohammed bin Abdallah, and he charged some of the prominent Jewish families to promote international trade from the port of Essaouira to different parts of the world. So here, Jews, you see, once again, were used by a sultan, by a Moroccan sultan, to encourage trade all over the world, and that's where a lot of the money is going to today in Morocco, to build up those ports and to draw on that ancient heritage of trade, which was underpinned by the Jewish skills that were brought in to build up this particular port in Essaouira. And it's, in fact, in the 1880s, 40% of the Jewish community of Isura was Jewish.
Right. Tell me, what flights are you taking to go to what airline?
Well, we've got David Benjamin in Johannesburg that is organizing the air tickets, and whoever...
No, but what is the airline?
People can go as they please. A lot of people link up. They go to other countries first, and they come in afterwards. So your ticket is booked privately, and that's what you do with your travel agent.
So I just want to thank you for coming in, and please, God, after the tour, when you come back, you'll be able to give us a full report.
I look forward.
It's been a pleasure having you in the studio. Enjoy the rest of the day. Just to remind you, on Friday we have Reflections of the Past. So now I'm thanking Kathy here for controlling for me today. Craig is not well, but we're going to play out with As Time Goes By.